has come a long way, and now we're kicking into 2020. It seems so far away when we were at 2001. Wow. 19 years ago, it seems so far away. Next year, we will be celebrating, so I'm going to let you know, next August area, we will be celebrating 20 years, and then we will make it a big celebration. But God has been, one thing I will tell you through these 19 years, God has been faithful. Even when our church has not been faithful, or we've been on shaky ground at times, or we've been in places that have been kind of hard, or we've got some hard bumps that we went through, and we've had some issues and some problems, and we've had some trouble, God has stayed faithful. God has stayed faithful. But we have not always been faithful to Him. We thank God for His faithfulness. As you can see, many of our faces are not here because some have chosen to leave the flock. But others, it was their time to go home to Jesus. I've not forgotten those names. I have forgotten those people. But many of you will never know them, but the Lord knows them. When we painted our first wall and when we done some things like that and we went out and had our first visitor and we went out and knocked on the doors for the very first time, those were very important days. Because those were the seeds that began to grow in the community, and which began as New Life Fellowship meeting in a house 19 years ago. In fact, me in two houses. It isn't now that we don't meet in a house anymore, but we have houses. God knew we were going to have keys to houses, but I didn't know that. You didn't know that, but God did. God has a plan for New Life Fellowship. And He continues to have a plan for New Life Fellowship. In the future, it is to have a men's facility, transitional housing right next door, and to do a children's shelter with foster care, somehow, whatever that's going to look like. But we cannot forget the church. The ministries are important, but we cannot forget the church. Because that's where we all gather. This is where we praise the Lord. This is where we lift up our hands and our voices to God and praise Him and thank Him and give our prayer requests out to Him. Acknowledge that He is our Lord and Savior. This is where we fellowship. This is where we do this in a community way, as a family. And ministries are very important to New Life. It's part of the vision. But we cannot forget the church and its purpose. I think there's been times in our church where we have thought that the ministries were going to do all the work. And when I mean the work, I'm talking about that the church will grow through the ministries. And I think it will, and I think it is. But we got to a place sometimes where we think that that's the only thing that's going to cause the church to grow. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And I have three pieces that I want to share this morning, and I'll spend definitely a lot more on the first one than I will the other two. Jesus is on the Sermon of the Mount, and He has the crowd, and He has the ears, and He has the eye. Every eye is watching Him, and every ear is waiting for the next syllable word He's going to say. And in this, he starts here. I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be trampled and be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light on a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. And let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. This message was preached to these individuals, but I want to tell you, Lord, no, it was going to be preached for many years to come. We are the salt and the light of this world. This world is dark. This world has got evil in it. This world is a very hard place. This world will not take care of you. This world will not take care of you physically, and it definitely will not take care of you spiritually. There is only one that can do that. That is the Lord God Himself. And once we find out who God is, and we understand that He sent His Son, that we become in a place of an opportunity where God allows the gospel to penetrate, and He opens our heart to see if we are going to receive the gospel. And we take that gift of salvation, and we take it, and we receive the gift into us, and the Holy Spirit comes into us. Once we acknowledge who Jesus is, we accept Him as our Savior, and we confess our sins, and we make Him Lord of our life. We are adopted into His family. And once we have that, then we are part of the family of God. Now, baptism is an amazing piece. And it follows salvation, but it is not salvation. We cannot acknowledge that the water saves, but that Jesus saves. But we need to understand and know that God has said, Jesus is telling us that we are the light of the world. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. And He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light under a bowl. It means you don't hide it, but instead you put it on the stand. It gives light to everyone in the house so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is also in heaven. Basically, it's telling us that we are the light of the world. That we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be out and shining light in the darkness, not just by our good works, just not by those, but sharing the gospel. And you do that, and you are unashamed of that, as Romans tells us. Romans tells us that we are not ashamed of the gospel, but that we are to share the gospel. And as we share the gospel, then what happens is people are hearing the gospel and some will come to Christ. That's what it is, that some will come to Christ. But we are watching and waiting for the pastor to win people to Jesus. And I love winning people. I love sharing the gospel. Let me tell you, there's nothing like someone that says, I want to come to Christ. I'm ready to receive. I believe I need salvation. They'll say it in so many ways, but it always points to Jesus. And if it doesn't, then the conversation goes in some other direction. We have to pull back a little bit. We have to talk about some things. But we are all called. Jesus didn't say that the preachers are the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. This church, we are called to share the gospel. We are supposed to let the light shine. And if this church ends up with half the people coming from Fort Wayne, so be it. Did you hear what I just said? We got a lot of people coming from Fort Wayne, and I love it. But this place needs to be 90%, 95% Huntington. That means those, you get what I'm saying? You live here. Many live here. I'll share the gospel with anybody wherever they live. But there's places I can't get to, but you can. And we need to learn how to share the gospel. You can't just expect the pastor to share the gospel and the church go. Listen, I've seen churches go into votes of confidentiality for pastors, saying our church isn't growing, it's the pastor's fault. Listen, when you start doing that, you're pointing the finger in the wrong direction, brother. There is more responsibility on the church than what the church realizes. Salvation. Listen, salvation comes from people here sharing the word and people hearing and receiving the word. In this community, I'm telling you, in this vision piece, my first one is that baptisms will grow. Because baptisms is a result of salvation. Amen? I think we have a video. I'm going to play the video here. I just want to play a real short video. I don't normally do that, but we're going to today.
Numbers. We live by numbers. We track and count and measure everything. And sometimes we think the only numbers that really matter are the big ones. But it's the single digits that make the difference. The Bible says that heaven rejoices with the number one. Yeah, heaven rejoices each time even one person comes to know Jesus. We pastors dream about big numbers, and we should. But a daily focus on one meaningful interaction for Christ, that's the true difference maker. One friend, one family member, one co-worker, one person at a time. We want to see God move in our nation like we have never seen before, but it all starts with one. I've got my one, and now I'm challenging you and your church to join us and to find yours. Because ultimately, the only number that really matters is one. Who's your one?
So part of our piece is that we need to learn how to share the gospel. And I've been kind of sharing that, and I can share that. And then some people say, well, I don't know how to share the gospel. I can spend 20 or 30 minutes. Listen, I can teach you all that I know, but listen, your heart needs to be right with the Lord. Your heart needs to be right with the Lord. I think sometimes we in the church, we get to a place where we're only looking at ourselves and not looking at the community, not looking at others, seeing what I can get out of the church, not seeing how I can lead others to God. We need to get to that place. I'm telling you, we are the light of the world as individuals, and this church is a light to the world and to this community. Our ministries are a light to the world and a light to this community. But the light in the ministries is shining. We can do better in some areas, but the lights in the ministry are shining. I want to tell you because the church, we're trying to make it shine. We want it to, but I'm just asking you, are you letting the light shine in your world? The world, your life. There are people that need to hear the gospel that are not hearing it. They're not hearing it. And you are the one to share the gospel. So part of the vision for this year is that our baptisms will grow. Because baptisms are a result, as I said, of salvation. And also baptisms is a part of church growth. So I pick the middle one. Baptisms. Baptisms are very, very important to the church. Very, very important for us all. Now, I cannot go out and make this happen. But so what is my part? Because there's the parts that only God can do. God softens hearts. God draws people to himself. But there is a part that we are called. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are to be letting it shine. Listen, your mouth needs to stop swearing. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can't win people to Jesus when you're swearing. I'm just telling you, you can't. You can't win people to Jesus when you got Johnny Jack or who or Dan, whatever you want to put in your hand and try to win somebody to Jesus. You can't do it because it's not of the Lord. You can't do it that way. You want to win people to Jesus, I'm telling you, there's a switch inside of you that's got to flip. You're all in for the Lord. Because you can't win people to Jesus when you're only halfway there. You got to be all in, baby. You got to be all in. This is not a game. This is not a social event. This is about eternal life. This is about the destination, which I'll be preaching in a couple of weeks, and you will see visual what I'm trying to explain to you, what happens when someone dies. And I'm telling you, there are no redos. There's no, give me an extra chance, God. Give me one more shot. I'm telling you, you've done lived your life. And you've chosen the direction. You've chosen your eternal home. But today, it's about sharing the light. And we need to share the light and the love of Christ because people are living in brokenness. And they're living in sin. And they're drowning in their brokenness and sin. And the only hand that will pull you out of that is the hand of Christ. The hand of Jesus. Some of us will not get far because we have an attitude. We have an attitude toward the church. We have an attitude toward people. We have an attitude toward the way things are going. I'm going to tell you, listen, when you come in, you check attitudes at the altar. You check attitudes at the door. Because God can't do a work in a person who's got an attitude. And you can't love people when you have an attitude. It's got to be, your attitude has got to be, if it needs fixed, get with the Lord with that. But my first part is baptism. I'm going to get to that when we close. Second part of the vision this year. So we're going to pray for baptisms. We're going to pray that we're going to share the gospel. And we're going to, this summer, I want to let you know, this summer, we are going to do more evangelistical things. It's not going to be all construction. Thank you, Jesus. But we're going to do some evangelistical things. I'm not going to wear you out this summer, but we're going to do some of those things. But number two, part of our vision, it may sound odd, but it is financial growth. So baptismal growth is first, and financial growth. Financial growth. A lot of times we don't want to talk about that in church. You don't hear me preach a lot about tithes and offerings and those kind of things. It is a heart piece, and there's some other things to it. But financial growth. Our ministry budget went up $61,000. It isn't that anybody's getting rich. You just open up another home, and everything goes up. And we've already got the house for the men into the last quarter. Not that we're going to, but we had to see what it looks like on the budget. We had it in the last year. We had the women and children's in the last year of the budget. We opened it up in mid-December. But we wanted to see what the budget looked like, and it calls for another $60,000-some. So we know that we can't afford that. We can't afford that, amen? But we know who can. We know who's been faithful. His track record is amazing. In our $77,000 for 77 days, we were $1,400 short. I think it was $1,400 short. Can you come up with $77,000 in this room in 77 days? We'd all be going to the bank borrowing money. But there is no borrowed money. We received finances from all over the place. All different parts of the state, different parts of the country. God has a way. But we must be faithful in our part. We must pray. We must strengthen our financial team. We must see what that looks like if we grow it. We need to look at some things because it's not going to get smaller. It's just going to get a little bit larger until the Lord gives us a cap, wherever that is. So if we know that that's coming, we need to pray about that. Amen? That's what that box is over there, by the way. If you ever want to give anything for the ministries separately, I mean, you can put it as long as you put it, your name and where it goes on the check. You can put the ministries or New Life Ministries, but if you want to put it over there, cash, whatever, we know everything in that box over there goes to the ministries. But financial growth is a piece that we need to continually to pray about. Number three, I told you I wouldn't spend much time on these others, is leadership growth. Leadership growth is something that we're investing in financially. We're investing in with a lot of time and resources because we have a lot of people that we are in leadership roles. And the leadership roles, we need to be trained up. We've made a mistake for like many, many years putting people in positions with no training. That's what churches do. That's one of the biggest mistakes churches do. And I fell into that too for many years, coming to a place where we're trying to do more training. And we need to do that because people get frustrated when they get into positions and they don't know what they're doing. Or they get in there and they want to do something and it's really not where in the direction it needs to go. But leadership training is a vital part of the church. And so that's not just leaders that we have now, but that's also up-and-coming leaders that we're looking at. And listen, old dogs can learn new tricks. So I've worked on some things. I always have to read. I always have to research. I have to do that because old dogs do learn new tricks. Okay? But I'm telling you, we have a very young staff, and we have to work, and they need to work hard, and you need to get it because there's going to come a day that I'm not going to be here anymore. And so the church is going to have to go to that next position, the next level, whatever that may be. But leadership growth is very, very important. Ministry grid is something we have invested in. Also, I try to get Carl and the staff there, I've tried to get them to at least a conference somewhere or some learning things, and we invest in that. We do that with some pastors. We do that we're sending the pastors' wives off to something here, I think in February. Some of them are going to go to that pastor's wife event because there's a world that none of you will know unless you are a pastor's wife. There's a world in the pastor's wife. It is a weird world. It's not, I want to say private in a bad way, but they keep things very enclosed. And so they need to work on things with that. But that's a good thing. So we invest in that. I'm going to a conference here in Illinois on Tuesday. There's an investment in that. And so we want to continue to lead. Our leadership training needs to continue to grow. If you have any desire in any type of leadership, you can see Phil Jones. And doesn't mean we'll put you in that position right now, but I'm telling you, it isn't always about get the position and then learn about it. You'd be smart if you say, you know, I feel like God's calling me into this area, maybe. Let me see, what does that look like? And Phil Jones can draw you and show you and give you some things to look and read it about and see what it's like before you even get into it. Okay? So there's leadership growth is something we need to continue to work on. Now, I will tell you, last year, we had a fast. And our fast last year was for two things. One, that God would bring two couples to this church, and that he also would do a leadership growth in our leadership. We saw God answered that fast. We had that. We had prayed for two couples, and we lost Dan and Dee within a month. So we were down the hole. We were minus. So we were minus one. So that means we needed three. But God gave us, I think God gave us four or five couples in 2019. And so we also see that leadership growth. And I think some of our leaders right now would say they're a stronger leader today than they were last year. And it's been more challenging this year, or this last year was more challenging. And we're not going to stop there. We're going to continue to do that. Because here it is. We don't have to come up with a new vision on who we are. We know who we are. God has called us to do these ministries. Soup kitchen and the meal, and then the women's life house, and it kind of boosted into another area, kind of into women and children, but also men's and also children. And here we are, we're doing many of those things right now. We're not changing who we are. We know who we are. We just got to get better at some of those things, and we are, but we cannot forget the church. The church has to do its part. The church has to do its part. We can't expect the church to do the evangelism without us doing it as individuals. The church cannot do it without people. And you are the people. We are the ones that are share the gospel. I don't know if you've shared the gospel with someone and been able to lead someone to the Lord, but there is no better feeling and no better awesomeness that you are doing what God's called you to do when you are sharing the gospel and someone comes to Christ. Doesn't mean someone always comes to Christ, but you are doing it, and God used you. There's a part that only God can do that we can't, but we are expected to share the gospel. We're expected to give financially. We do that. People do that the best they can. And leadership growth. I want to grow in my leadership. What I want to grow is I want to be a better pastor this year than I was last year. I should always be growing in my leadership skills. I should always be growing. But don't come and just float. Now, I understand sometimes we're in positions where right now I just need to work on me. I get that. But when you work on yourself after so long, there's something wrong. We need to be growing up in the Lord. Okay? We need to be growing up in the Lord. And if I am salt and I lose that salty taste, Jesus said, It'd be better just to be thrown out, be trampled by men. I can't lose it. I can't lose that fire for the Lord. I can't lose that hunger to share the gospel. Do you like it when visitors come into the church? I do. You know the first thing I'd say to myself? I wonder who brought them. Pay attention to me now real quick. I wonder who brought them, because listen, there's some of you that I don't really expect to bring anybody because you haven't brought anybody in 5 years, 10 years. But some of you continue to bring people all the time. And that's the first thing. I say, I wonder if it was so-and-so. I wonder if it was so-and-so, because they keep sharing. They keep inviting. Those are the people that never say, oh, I wonder when the church is going to grow. It's the people that aren't bringing people go, why isn't the church growing? They're spending time on looking around instead of going out and looking around. So I want to draw you to a place this morning where you understand and know that people need to come to Christ. I think that's the key thing this morning. People need to come to Christ. And if you're not sharing the gospel, you're not trying to be the light of the world, you need to be. And what I've got this morning is I've got some cards down here. Let me pick one of these up. And as you saw in the video, that was our president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer. That was his biggest piece that he has pushed since he has been president. And he will be done this summer. But this says, who is your one? Now, it does have on the back, it says a name. I don't know if that's supposed to be your name or a person you're trying to lead to the Lord. But one thing I've realized is sometimes when I used to put names and I was going to say, Lord, I want this person to come to Christ, I will put that name in there. But sometimes I wasn't able to lead that person to the Lord. But God had somebody else in mind. You know what it just said? God was saying that. Just basically, I was ready to share the gospel. Doesn't mean I stopped praying for that person that needs to come to Christ. But sometimes, that's why I don't put a name on there. I can put names on it if I want to pray that I'm going to lead the person to the Lord. But it isn't always the one that I had in mind. Sometimes it's someone else. But this is like a bookmarker, a reminder. It says, it has some scripture on there. It has some things on the back. But basically, it's just a good reminder that I'm going, Lord, I make a commitment that I'm going to share the gospel with. I'm going to share the gospel. I want to be salt and light. I want to be salt and light. I want to be salt and light in this world, and I want to be a part of the growth. I want the Lord will use me according. I want the Lord to use me. In sharing the gospel, I want to be that guy. I want to be that woman that I can bring someone into the church and that people will come to Christ. I want to be a part of that plan. And you know, sometimes we think it's always adults, but what about kids? You ever led a kid to the Lord? They're always so eager. Sometimes people say, well, they're just so young. Why would they want to, why? You know what? We just leave that to the Lord. This morning, I have these up here. I also have a board up here. I have some markers up here. If you want to make a commitment, we're going to leave it up here for a couple of weeks, but if you want to make a commitment, I'll bring that easel and stick it down here on the corner. And I just ask you that you take a marker and you just sign your name to it. Now, you're going to share the God. Doesn't mean you're going to lead someone to the Lord, but that you're going to make an attempt. You're going to start praying that God will bring some lost people in your lives and that you're going to share the gospel. That's the plan. You know, there's a church that did this, I think, in Kentucky, that theirs was all about baptisms, period, just baptisms. They baptized one person for every day. Church grew from where it was. I was just expanding. They just started falling in love with Jesus again. See, you can love the ministries. But if you don't love Jesus, you really don't know how to love the ministries. You can love the church, but if you don't love Jesus, you're not going to really love the church. You just love the parts of the church. And until you start loving people, you got to learn to share the gospel. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to stand this morning, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk with the Holy Spirit, to talk with the Lord about who and what you are all about this part of a baptism growth. About sharing the gospel. And maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, this would be a great day for you to receive salvation through Christ. I can share that with you when I come down. And you want that relationship with God? I can show you how to have a relationship with God. I can tell you how to do that. I want to say this one thing. I want you to look at me, you New Life people. Not one of you have ever told me, said, wouldn't it be amazing if we had to rebuild the balcony because this down here is too full. I think God is waiting for us to say, Lord, we don't have to go to the second service. That's what's amazing. I got friends right now, they're battling. Second service. All we got to do is open up the balcony and repair it. And still have one service. And it starts with one. And then another. And then Scott. I think we need to open up the balcony. Yeah, brother, I think we do. We go, this is awesome. But it starts with the church hungry for the lost and a love for God. Amen. You start praying. You do what God has for you this morning. I'm going to bring this down. Matter of fact, I'm not going to stick it here.